الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, before I begin my actual talk, I'd just like to point out that mashallah tabarakallah, many of you have been sitting here for how long now? 2.5 hours, is that right? 2.5 hours sitting here listening to lecture after lecture. And frankly, after a while, it does get a bit tiring to sit and listen and sit and listen and sit and listen. And I was sitting over here on the stage and I was looking at another amazing phenomenon, that we have a group of our brothers and sisters right here who, alhamdulillah, mashallah, tabarakallah, they are not listening to me, but having my talk and other talks interpreted via sign language for the last 2.5 hours. And I want to give a shout out to the translators and to our brothers and sisters who are sitting here, mashallah, patiently, and I see their expressions and I see the effects of the talks with a 5-second delay, that it takes a while for these expert translators, I don't know how they're doing all of this, that as they're speaking, we're speaking, they're translating, and our brothers and sisters are now receiving that information. Falhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Another round of applause and takbir for our audience over here, alhamdulillah. In a very beautiful hadith, narrated by a sahabi that I named my son after. Which sahabi is that? Ammar ibn Yasir. My son is called Ammar. In a very beautiful hadith narrated by the sahabi Ammar ibn Yasir and reported by the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, it is narrated that once Ammar ibn Yasir, he led a group in salah for a short salah. And he then did the taslim, did his dhikr, and walked out of the masjid. Some of the people followed him and said, "Oh, Ammar ibn Yasir, you led us for too short of a salah. Why didn't you make it longer?" Now pause here. When's the last time you ever heard a complaint in a masjid about the salah being too short, right? Those were the good old days. So they're complaining that you led us in too short of a salah. Why didn't you prolong the salah? What did Ammar ibn Yasir say? He said, "Even if I did a short salah, I made a dua in it that I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I think makes up for that shortness. Even if it's short, I made a very special dua. And so I'm happy at that dua." So somebody said, "What is that dua, O Ammar ibn Yasir?" So he gave a very beautiful dua that he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is this dua? There's only one phrase that's relevant to us, but I'm going to narrate because it's a beautiful dua. It begins, "Allahumma bi'ilmika al-ghayb wa qudratika 'ala al-khalq." Oh Allah, I ask you, through your knowledge of the unseen and your power over the creation, I ask you through these attributes, for what? "Ahyini ma 'alimta al-hayata khayran li." Give me life as long as you know my life has good for me in it. "Watawaffani idha 'alimta al-wafata khayran li." And give me death when you know death will be better for me. This is how the dua begins. Beautiful. Oh Allah, give me life as long as life is in my interest and better for me. But when life becomes a problem, when a prolongment of life will not bring me good, then bring me a quick and easy death. Give me death when death is better for me. A Muslim doesn't just want to live for the sake of living. A Muslim wants to live for the sake of the Akhirah. And when life doesn't help the Akhirah, he might as well finish up his life and move on to the Akhirah. So that's the first phrase. Give me life as long as life is good for me. And then give me death when death is good for me. Oh Allah, I ask you your fear in open and in secret. Wherever I am, I want to fear you. Oh Allah, bless me with the truth, whether I'm happy or angry. Notice two extremes here. You want to fear Allah when people are looking at you and when you are alone. You want to speak the truth when you're happy and when you're angry. Oh Allah, I ask you for a happiness that never finishes and a coolness of the eye that never ceases. And now listen to this. And oh Allah, اللهم إني أسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. This is the phrase that is relevant to our talk. Oh Allah, I ask you for the sweetness, for the sweetness of looking at your face. Oh Allah, I ask you for the ladha, he called it a ladheed, he called it a sweetness of looking at your face. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ, and an eagerness to be with you, an eagerness to finally meet up with you. So of the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught the Sahaba and taught Ammar ibn Yasir was the du'a, oh Allah, I want that sweetness of looking at your face. And I want that eagerness to want to meet you. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَى لِقَائِكَ. Why? Because every single desire of love, every single desire of love, it is manifested in meeting. It is manifested in looking. And the love of Allah is the greatest love. So the meeting of Allah is the greatest meeting. And the looking at Allah, the looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest blessing. And that is why it is a fundamental principle of Sunni theology, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, a fundamental principle that the greatest blessing of Jannah is not Jannah. The greatest blessing of Jannah is not the things inside of Jannah. Rather, the greatest blessing of Jannah is something even more than Jannah itself. Allah says in the Quran, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَ. Those who do good, they shall get al-husna, which is the name of Jannah. They shall get al-husna wa ziyada, and they will get more than Jannah. What could possibly be more than Jannah? Our Prophet ﷺ explained this verse. He made a tafsir of this verse. And he said, when the people of Jannah have entered Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, Allah will ask them that, oh my servants, are you happy? The people of Jannah will say, yes, O Allah, we are. Allah will say, O my servants, is there anything more that you want? The people of Jannah will say, and what could we want more than this, O Allah? Have you not forgiven our sins? Have you not made our scales weighty? Have you not caused us to enter this paradise? What more could we want? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will lift the veil, yakshifu al-hijab, and they will look at his face. And they will not be given anything better and more noble than the looking at his face. And this is the ziyada that the Quran talks about. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. وَهَذِهِ الزِّيَادَ. This is the thing that is more than Jannah. Once our Prophet ﷺ was praying salah, and it was the middle of the night, and the Sahaba were there, most likely in Ramadan. And it was a full moon outside, full bright moon, no clouds. And so our Prophet ﷺ said, do you see this full moon? They said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, do you have any problems? Are you jostling and shoveling? Are you fighting one another to see that moon? They said, no, O Messenger of Allah. He said, then verily you shall see your Lord just as you see this full moon. You shall see your Lord. The comparison is to the people looking at the moon and the people looking at Allah. You will see your Lord just as you see this full moon. No one will be fighting. No one will be jostling and shoving. No one will be arguing to see it. Everyone will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran is explicit on this point of the looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran links worship to the face of Allah. The Quran encourages us to worship in order to see the face of Allah. And our Prophet ﷺ did the same. In this same hadith, he said, you will see your Lord as you see the full moon. So therefore, try your best not to fall asleep at Fajr and at Asr timings. At Fajr and Asr, they would be sleeping, the afternoon nap and the early morning. He said, try your best to pray Fajr and to pray Asr on time. He linked the looking of Allah, the looking at Allah, he linked it to Fajr and Asr. He encouraged them to pray their salawat in order to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran encourages many good deeds in order to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Allah tells us to make dua to Him in order to see His face. وَلَا تَطُرُ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. They're making dua to see Allah's face. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. You're only spending your money to see the face of Allah. You're spending your money fi sabilillah to see the face of Allah. Allah says, you're being good to your relatives in order to see the face of Allah. Allah says, you're being patient. وَالَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِمْ. They're being patient in order to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran tells us that when we see the face of Allah, when we see the face of Allah, our faces will become bright and shining. We all know the verse, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاضِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. On that day, faces will be shining bright, نَاظِرَةٌ. They're going to be shining bright. Why? Because they will be looking at their Lord. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. And this shows us that looking at the face of Allah is the greatest blessing given to us. And even this blessing, brothers and sisters, will be given in accordance with our own good deeds. Not everybody will see Allah the same quantity. Everybody in Jannah will see Allah, but not everybody will see Allah to the same level and quantity. And the higher up one goes in Jannah, the more shall be this ziyadah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in many verses in the Quran this linkage of good deeds with looking at His face. And that is why the Quran describes the face of Allah with beautiful adjectives. We all know Surah Ar-Rahman. What does Allah say about His face? كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ. Everyone on this earth will perish. And our previous speakers were talking about the same point. Everyone is going to die. Who shall remain? وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And the wajh, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. And that face has been described as dhul jalali wal ikram. The face has been described as a face of jalal. And jalal means magnificence. Jalal means honor. Jalal means magnificence. And ikram means nobility. The face of Allah is a face of honor and a face of nobility. Why? Because anybody who sees that face has been honored beyond anyone else. Anyone who sees that face has been given an honor and a nobility that no one else will possess. And that face of Allah, we will not see it in this world. Musa asked to see, but Allah said, you don't have the power. You don't have the power, the capability. That is something only in the next life. And a famous hadith of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, after Isra al-Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ went up and he went to a place higher than Jibreel. Jibreel took him up and Jibreel said, I cannot go anymore. Now you have to go on your own. I'm not allowed beyond this point. So the Prophet ﷺ went higher than any created being has ever been. Then he came back down. Abu Dharr al-Ghifari asked him, this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Very beautiful hadith, very interesting hadith. Ya Rasulallah, hal ra'ayta rabbak? Beautiful hadith. O Messenger of Allah, did you see your Lord? Did you see your Lord? And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Noor anna ara. There was light everywhere. How could I see him? Noor anna ara. There was light everywhere. How could I see him? What light is he talking about? What is this light? Our Prophet ﷺ explained in another hadith. He clarified in another hadith. And this hadith is reported by Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim as well. And in it he said, Allah Azza wa Jal has taken a hijab. Hijabuhu an-nur. Allah's hijab is nur. Allah Azza wa Jal has taken a hijab. By hijab we mean a covering. Allah has taken a hijab. What is that hijab? You see, for us, the hijab covers the beauty. It covers the beauty and it envelopes the beauty. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hijab itself is beauty, and what is covered is beyond imagination. What it covers is beyond what the mind can comprehend. So our Prophet ﷺ said, حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. Allah's hijab is light. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ. If he were to lift that hijab, لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْتَهَا إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. The rays of light that come from Allah's face would destroy everything that it sees. The beauty, the radiance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so powerful that the creation cannot bear to see it. So when the creation cannot bear to see it, out of mercy for the creation, Allah has veiled Himself from us in this dunya. And what is His veil? His veil itself is light. So when our Prophet ﷺ went up all the way to Isra wal Mi'raj, he saw the veil of Allah. So when Abu Dharr asked him, what did you see? Did you see Allah? He said, Noor anna ara. There was the light. How could I see Allah? How could I see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So our Prophet ﷺ saw the hijab. But as for seeing Allah, this is impossible in this world. Our bodies cannot bear it in this world. That is only in the next world. That is in the Akhirah. And it is the greatest blessing of the Akhirah. Brothers and sisters in Islam, much can be said about the divine vision. Much can be said. But the fact of the matter is, that vision, that ru'ya, that is something that is the ultimate goal of every single believer. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah loves to meet him. When was the last time you thought about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When was the last time that was on your mind and your passion? A sign of love, dare I say the greatest sign of love, is to want to meet your beloved. We know this with our own families, our own wives and children, our own people around us. When we go away on a vacation, on traveling, we leave the family. We miss them so much, we're looking forward to coming back. It's a sign of love. You miss your children, you miss your family. This is love. So he who misses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he who loves Allah, he will want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is exactly what our Prophet ﷺ said. Whoever loves to meet Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet him. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let me conclude by reminding you of some beautiful facts about Allah and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that of the greatest names of Allah, of the most beautiful names of Allah, is the name As-Salam. As-Salam. And the meaning of As-Salam is the one from whom peace comes, the one who protects you from all evil. This is the meaning of salam. And Allah's name is As-Salam. And He called His religion Al-Islam, from the same root. And He called His reward, His Jannah, Darus Salam. Allah says in the Quran, Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. He called His Jannah Darus Salam. And His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he commanded us to spread salam in the beautiful hadith narrated by none other than Abdullah ibn Salam. That Abdullah ibn Salam said that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for the first time, and the first words that came out of his mouth were afshus salam. Spread the salam to the people. Spread the salam to the people, and you shall enter Jannah with salam. So our religion is Al-Islam. Our Lord is As-Salam. We believe in As-Salam. We want to get to Darus Salam. His Prophet ﷺ commanded us to spread salam. Therefore, brothers and sisters, those who believed in As-Salam and they followed Al-Islam and they wanted to see As-Salam and they spread salam on this world, they shall enter Darus Salam. And when they enter Darus Salam, As-Salam will greet them with the greetings of salam. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. Tahiyyatuhum yawma yalqawnahu salam. The greeting that As-Salam will give to those who enter Darus Salam is the greeting of salam. And that is the ultimate goal that every single one of us wants. We want As-Salam to greet us with salam. And when As-Salam says salam, No one will ever be harmed. That is why they are in Darussalam. The ultimate goal is to see As-Salam, to hear the greetings of As-Salam, to follow Al-Islam, to get to Darussalam. Brothers and sisters, let me conclude by allowing all of us, by asking all of us to participate in a takbir, in an Allahu Akbar that comes not from the tongue but from the heart. Because if you truly want to get to Jannah, then you have to make Allah Akbar than everything else. And Allahu Akbar, what does it mean? It means Allah is more important to me than anything else. I love Allah and I worship Allah and I respect Allah and I humble myself in front of Allah more than any other being. When we say Allahu Akbar, we mean Allah is more important than our dunya, than our family, than our possessions, than everything. That I will sacrifice everything for Allah. Allahu Akbar. We say it all the time, but it's become somewhat cliched. I want all of us to end this speech, to conclude it with a takbir, with an Allahu Akbar that comes from the depths of our hearts, from the bottoms of our souls. We recognize and we acknowledge that, oh Allah, nothing is greater in my heart than you. I love nothing greater than you. I have no desire more powerful than meeting you and seeing you and hearing you. Let us all say in a loud voice, Allahu Akbar! No, I want a voice that the halls shake, that the building shakes to its foundation, that the world recognizes that we will never ever give up the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is our first and our last, al-awwalu wal-akhir, al-zahiru wal-batin, Allahu Akbar! One last time from the very depths of your heart, Allahu Akbar! Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.